Welcome back to another episode of the Photographer Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Seth Macy. And if this is your first time listening to the show, or you need a refresher because I haven't said it in a while, this is a show where we talk about how to work smarter towards our goals and not harder in photography, how to define our own version of success, and how to develop out-of-the-box thinking strategies and build up our mental fortitude as creators so that we can hit all the things we want to do and reach all of our ambitions. And we do that by bringing on inspirational photographers in the Instagram community. And today I'm joined by one of those people, Hayden Lynch from New Hampshire, who we actually met on Clubhouse. We talk a bit about that in the show. Hopefully you guys aren't sick of hearing about Clubhouse, but it really is the place to be if you're into speaking and you love podcasts, and you must because you're listening to this one. But enjoy the show, everyone. I want to hear the story about quitting your desk job, what you were doing before photography, or like, were you shooting the entire time you had the desk job and then just kind of said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go pursue this passion that I found, or was it kind of you stopped one and then found the other? Just what's the story there?
Yeah, man, it's pretty interesting. So I went to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, and you know, there's a lot of pressures and stresses when you go to an Ivy League. You have a lot of expectation from my family, from my friends, from my teachers to kind of fall into the trap that is like, you have to go work in finance or consulting or be a doctor. You have to do these things. So that's kind of the path I took. I went into banking. I worked for Bank of America for 2 years doing data analytics and strategy for them. And honestly, I liked the people I worked with a lot. I lived in Boston for 2 years, but there was just something missing. And honestly, it was living this like sedentary life of, you know, waking up, going to work, coming back, eating dinner, going to bed, repeat. That it was just really like aggravating me. I just couldn't take it anymore. And, you know, I'm watching all these films of people summiting Everest in the Himalayas and people scuba diving the Great Barrier Reef, and you know, these types of things were really calling to me. There were experiences I wanted to have when I was younger, when I was able to have this lack of responsibility that people with kids can't say they have. So I ended up, with my parents' support, I saved all my money and I decided I'm going to quit. I'm going to pack my bag and I'm just going to buy a one-way ticket to Hawaii and I'm just going to travel. So I ended up doing
just
that.
Just no plan, just go and do it, eh?
No plan. You know, the plan was kind of like, I'm going to do it for a year and kind of that whole get it out of my system thing and then get back to my job. At least that's what my parents thought. And I ended up moving to California first and working a wine harvest, a grape harvest up in Sonoma, which was a really cool experience because I kind of thought before I travel, I should get my legs under me because I've been living this sedentary life and not working out. And now I'm just going to live out of a backpack for a year when, you know, I can't even jog a mile without being out of breath. So I worked grape harvest for 5 months and got in, you know, incredible shape, you know, started working with my hands, like, you know, felt like I had a purpose in life again. And it was just, I learned a ton, you know, I was making a difference and seeing the value I was adding to this small business. And I loved it. I loved every part of it. From there, I ended up just traveling for the next year of my life, going to 30 countries, just traveling west until I got back to Boston. And I got back October 2019. And, you know, I kind of thought leaving, I would figure out what it is I want to do when I got back. But when I came back, I still just didn't really know. So I just started writing every day. I started journaling. I started writing down my travel stories, you know, the ups, the lows, all the emotions I felt throughout that year, all the experiences I had, all the people I met. I just wrote it down. And I started reaching out to magazines like airline magazines, my alumni magazines, and just, you know, sending them my stories and saying, hey, would you want to publish this for $200 or, you know, a couple hundred dollars? And I got some good responses, you know, only a few, but after a while it was like, okay, you know, here is a way to make some money and not go back to that 9-to-5 job. And then I had this article published in my alumni magazine that actually did really well and got a ton of attention. And people kept reaching out to me saying, you know, we want to publish your photos from your trip. And I was like, well, I didn't take any photos because, you know, I had my iPhone. So I was taking a few here and there, but, you know, nothing professionally.
So at this point you were traveling and just writing. You weren't doing any, you had no camera at this point, which is, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. It's actually really funny, man. I bought a camera to bring on this trip, you know, a real starter Olympus camera. And I brought it around the entire world and never took a shot, which is just baffling to me looking back on it now that I am a photographer. I went to all these amazing places like the Himalayas, the Great Barrier Reef, you know, all over Southeast Asia, the Northern Lights in Norway, and never took a single shot. And I think that's kind of was a very beautiful experience for me to have, just very freeing and definitely taught me a lot of lessons. But, you know, come last May, you know, I'm writing often and all these people are asking me, you know, we want photos to supplement your articles and we want high res photos. So I decided if I'm going to make a career out of this freelancing, I need to pick up a camera and learn. So COVID hit and I was just quarantined and I just went out, bought a camera and just started taking pictures. And that pretty much spiraled into what I do now as a full-time career.
That's so cool, man. I have a couple things to take away from this. Maybe you can weigh in on them. So I think based on your story, you're very lucky and well, not lucky, but it's a nice thing to hear that you realized you weren't where you needed to be and that you, you know, were mm-hmm. able to get out of that trap before, you know, maybe it was a little, as time goes on, right? It gets a little bit more difficult to get out of that trap. Why is it, do you think, that some people never leave that?
I think it's so for me, and I'm only can base this off personal experiences, but for me, the hardest part of my travels was literally leaving. You know, I had so many people asking me like, oh, are you sure this is what you want to do? You know, are you sure this is the right decision? And no, I wasn't sure. I had no idea. So I think people can relate and empathize with that feeling because to take such a big risk, like leaving a well-paid job that's very secure and stable, to do something that you have no idea, one, if you're going to be successful at, or two, if it's going to even like, you're going to be passionate about it. You're going to like find this love for it. So I think this right. aspect of uncertainty really scares people. And it scared the hell out of me. But taking that leap of faith, taking that jump, taking that risk, taught me more about myself than anything I've ever done in my life.
It reminds me of a interview with Ray Dalio that I was listening to. Obviously, you know who Ray Dalio is. You're in finance. For people who don't know, he's, I guess, one of the most successful investors of all time, runs the biggest hedge fund in the world, Bridgewater. And he was talking about, you know, he's done these interviews and personality tests with some of the most successful people in the world, Elon Musk's and people of that kind. And he was saying the thing that differentiates people who execute and who don't is that they are very good at analyzing where they are in the present moment and where they see either the world or themselves being in the future. And they're able to identify how to fill that gap and what needs to be done in synchrony to shrink that gap to make the present turn into that outcome that they've envisioned and power through all the noise being, you know, people saying, what are you doing? This will never work and things like that. So that's kind of what it reminded me of hearing your story. I'm sure that there's a lot of chatter as you're making a decision that a lot of people thought was probably foolish.
For sure. You know, I think, where I was really fortunate was I had my parents' complete support. So they thought it was a great idea for me to do this. You know, I had just read, Phil Knight, the CEO of Nike, his book about how he just took a similar leap of faith and after he graduated business school, he just traveled the world and, you know, he came to the temple of Nike in Greece and was like, had this, you know, sort of epiphany, but all the lessons he right. learned along his travels taught him how to be a leader and how to run a business. So my parents were super on board with this decision of mine. And I can't imagine how difficult it would have been had they been so against it. I think that would have been extremely difficult. And I think a lot of people deal with that.
I wanted to touch on too, about your writing, because I loved hearing that your writing is what came first. That usually people start taking pictures and they you know, start a blog, or they start writing about the photos they've taken, but yours is kind of in reverse order, which is interesting to hear. And that, you know, the interest for, or the income, the passive income, I guess, was coming from your writing itself, and that you found photography as a supplement to that. I wanted to talk a bit more about, because we haven't done this on the show, but the importance of writing just in general as a foundational skill set. I mean, there's so many things off the top of my head that, you know, writing can do for you. First of all, in the social media world, if you are a great writer, you can write well-written captions that really resonate with your audience, that keep them looking at your photo longer, that keep them reading longer. You know, it helps with thought organization. I don't know what I would do if I didn't write my to-do list down. I'd probably let a lot of people down, you know what I mean? And not meet a lot of obligations I have, and not work linearly and just literally turn insane probably. Also, I think it just establishes, if you're someone listening who feels like you lack discipline or structure, because there is an innate need for, as humans, we have a need for certainty on a certain level. Like, we need to know that the sun is going to rise and set every day. We need to know, you know, we crave certainty as much as we crave uncertainty, the unknown. If you knew everything that was going to happen all the time, imagine how bored you'd be. So there's kind of a balance between certainty and uncertainty. But I mean, writing's a great way to establish discipline. If you're someone who just feels like, I don't know, maybe you're going off the rails or slipping a bit. And it also really engages both the analytical side of your brain, the left side of your brain, and the creative side of your brain, the right side, because you have to use the creative side to envision, you know, what you want to write down, and literally how you're going to format it. And then you have to also write it with the other side of your brain. So it really gets both of them going. And it can literally be your career, exhibit A here. And it can also, you know, make or break your career. And if you're writing a resume, if you're writing a CV letter, if you're, you know, writing a pitch, one word too many or too less, or the right and wrong words can really shift the momentum either in or away from your favor.
You know, I think what's interesting for me is I went into college thinking that I had this one path set for me. I had to go down this road of pretty much going into business. And I really struggled finding, you know, a passion for learning in general. You know, most classes were kind of like, what can I do to just get by? How can I do this just to get through this and, you know, go through the motions? And I ended up taking an English class with this professor who really just wasn't going to let me sit in the back and nod along. He was going to call on me. He was going to ask for my opinion. He was going to challenge me. And I started writing, and I started to get a little more passionate about it. And I started to feel this kind of release, this like enjoyment, this ability to process my thoughts and my feelings, my emotions on a much higher level than I had ever been able to before. And it was like, this is amazing, you know. And beyond that, when you're talking about writing, there's never really a right and a wrong answer. It's opinionated. It's your subjective opinion. And you get to tell your story. And no one can tell you, like, that's not right. You're wrong for that. Because, you know, it's how you feel. It's your emotions. So when I was traveling, you know, I ended up just journaling every day because it was healthy to do. And I wanted to remember all these moments because, you know, I was jumping around every 2 days to a new place and taking sleeper overnight buses. And, you know, it was chaotic. So I wanted this moment of clarity and peace in my mornings, you know, whether I was in Italy or Australia, just having that espresso in the morning at a cafe and jotting down a few words. And I've always kind of been a storyteller. I love sharing my stories. And after traveling the world for a year, you know, I have a bunch of stories to share. And writing just became the most effective means for me to tell my stories. And it does, you're right. It creates this foundation in your life where you're able to kind of see and comprehend your goals, like your emotions, your feelings, and, you know, what is kind of going on in your life in that moment. And especially when you're feeling a certain way, whether you're feeling depressed or you're feeling really excited or you accomplished your goal, you're able to look back on how you were a year ago or a month ago or a week ago. And that gives you this confidence because it shows your progress. It literally shows like where you were a week ago. So it was really cool for me. I think one downside I found to writing, which is kind of why I've transitioned more into photography, was writing is a very lonely career. A lot of the times I'm writing these articles, I'm by myself in my room for 8 hours, you know, writing this article. And, you know, I was able to kind of bounce ideas off people, whether it was my parents or friends or even the editor of these magazines. But it was always my story and I didn't want it to be changed. And photography was a way for me to interact with people, to be outside more, to be exploring more, to be doing what I really loved. And that's kind of where I realized, you know, writing didn't have to just be the one means of, you know, sustainability of, you know, making a living and sharing these stories. I could supplement it with photography. And once I picked up a camera, man, I just fell in love. You know, I realized this is the way I want to share my story and I want to actually supplement it with my writing.
So let me ask you this. And, you know, you mentioned progress, the word progress, and I've been vouching for this idea a lot that I think progress equals fulfillment. You know, I think if you're making progress, you're likely a fulfilled person, whether you realize it or not. I don't think there's this common misconception that, you know, once I get this thing or once I do this thing, I'll be fulfilled. I'll be happy then. Once I make $1 million, you know, I'll be set and I can put my feet up and I've made it. Or once I take a picture of, you know, an erupting volcano, I don't know, like just anything, but the pursuit progress is the fulfillment. Looking back, seeing, feeling, and watching yourself become the best you can be and hit those goals and hit those marks is what fulfills you. And I think once you realize that and you start, you know, hitting those goals and those marks, you have an awakening and you kind of feel unstoppable. You almost get to a point where it's like any idea that comes into your head that's that's possible within the physical realm, you start talking to yourself saying, well, I could easily do that, you know? But I also wanted to ask you the question of on behalf of maybe someone listening who wants to get into writing more. They are a photographer and they want to get into writing more, but they don't feel like they're a very strong writer or they're, I don't know, embarrassed by their writing skill, or they just don't know where to start. What would your advice be?
You know, I think it's pretty much the same advice for starting anything. And that is to just do it every single day. You know, I wrote in my journal every day for a full year. And when I look back at what I wrote the first day versus what I wrote the 365th day, you wouldn't even think it was the same person writing. You know, the first day I'm just jotting down notes and putting little dash marks and saying I did this and this. The second day I'm describing how the sun felt on my back and how it felt to be at 18,000 feet in the Himalayas. And, you know, I'm describing this emotion that I could even feel just reading it. So I think what I did as a writer is I fully invested my time in it and I spent about 6 hours a day, every day, writing and reading. And I read everything, you know, from science fiction to nonfiction. And I just absorbed as much information as I could. And I also made time to write about things that I wanted to write about. So I never felt, you know, overwhelmed or, you know, bogged down by this like feeling that I had to do it. So I focused on writing about stories I wanted to write about, writing about times when I was traveling that really filled me with a lot of emotion. But when it comes down to it, if you want to be a writer, you want to be a photographer, you want to be a doctor, you know, you have to work at it every single day and do it every single day and hope that you are able to find that passion for it and find your own kind of voice within it.
Right. And there's something really important there too. And that speaks to starting anything. And there's a saying that's really stuck with me, and it's the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. And I love that. And people might roll their eyes or think it's corny, but it's so true, man. The first step is just literally starting. And the important thing to note there from how you answered, I guess, my question was that there's no rule on what you need to write in order to better your life. It can literally be anything. I mean, the odd time I'll just write down, if I had a shitty day, I'll just write down why I did. But then there's other things that I write down diligently every single morning. Like, I'm sure I've mentioned it a bunch of times on this podcast, but in case people have missed it, like every morning that I wake up, and this is going back to the need for certainty, right? That we all have. I know that like, this is my structure, my routine. Every morning I write down four things that I'm grateful for. Even if I write the same four things every week, the start of every day, at least it's just, I'm burning it into my brain that these are the things that truly matter. Can you start to notice when you write those four things down? You'll start to see, if you go through them, which ones you're writing more frequently than the others. And going back to that thing over time, like if I look back in my journal, I see those things change. You know, it's becoming more of, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm able-bodied and that I can go on a hike today, you know, and there's people in a wheelchair who can't do that. You know, I'm grateful that my parents are still here. There's a lot of people who have lost loved ones. You know, there's so much more. And then at the end of the day, I'll write down, going back to, you know, the progress being fulfillment. And I mean, you have progress on a daily level, on a weekly level, on a monthly level, on a yearly level, and throughout your life. And just to meet that daily fulfillment, I'll write down, you know, four wins that I had for the day. And they could be as good as like, or as small as like, I had an amazing dinner. Like it tasted so good.
Yeah.
And that's a win. Or like, you know, I had a great podcast with Hayden tonight. It was really cool. We touched on a lot of topics. And then when you go back and you look at, you know, you just reflect on all those wins. If you flip through your journal, you know, that's when you see the progress and the fulfillment over weeks, months, years. And I think that's just advocating more for writing. I just kind of wanted to share that there's no limit to what you need to write down, and just kind of my take on the whole thing. I wanted to get into another thing on your website that I've actually been hearing about in, I actually talked about this recently in a Clubhouse room where somebody was discussing it. And important to note that you and I connected on Clubhouse and here we are on podcast. So people are tired of hearing it from me, but get on that app if you can and you're interested in networking, because I really don't know what better of an app you can have for, you know, checking someone's vibe and connecting with them instantaneously. Like, I can't imagine how long it would take to make some relationships just with back and forth text. There's no tonality. We were talking about in this Clubhouse room about the importance of a media kit for when brands are landing on your website, just like a one or two pager that instantly kind of lets them know who you are, your stats, I guess, your reach and things like that. And just like your best shots in your gallery. And that's something I don't have. And I was curious as to how, like, the level of importance you think it is to have something like that.
Yeah. I mean, so I honestly just recently created my media kit maybe a month or two ago. And since then, I've actually created four different media kits. So you only see one on my website, which is kind of just like my main portfolio of some of my better shots that I think, and a little bit about myself and my, you know, my analytics. But for me, when I'm reaching out to a client I want to work with, so as you grow, I think you start to get clients who start to reach out to you. But in the beginning, you have such limited exposure that you, if you want work and you want to survive off of a freelance job, off of content creation, then you have to be reaching out to these brands, and they have to be brands that align with your brand. So why I find media kits are so important is it just kind of gives clients this really quick recap and understanding of who you are and what it will be like to work with you and some of your work, so they can have some idea of what you're going to be able to provide them and if you're going to be able to add value to them. So I have portfolios for my landscape shots, for lifestyle shots, for product shots specifically. And I have a portfolio for just Jackson Hole, where I live, because a lot of my work comes from local companies. So they want to see pictures of the Tetons and pictures of Jackson Hole and pictures of people skiing. And it just helps, you know, in this day and age where efficiency is so important and like that understanding of like professionalism as well, it really does just bring you up a level. You know, if a company like Nike is having thousands of people reach out to them, or even smaller companies, you know, they're having a lot of creators. It's a very competitive industry. How are you going to separate yourself from the rest of the group? A media kit is a great way to do it, because it automatically adds that professionalism to you. And companies feel like they can take a chance on you even if you have a small following on Instagram or YouTube or whatever social media channel you promote a lot of your work on, you know, you're able to show them that I have value that I can add to you immediately. And I think that is huge for getting people to not only respond to you, but to respond back with, we would love to hear more or know more about what you have for an idea, or even we'd love to work with you. And I've definitely seen a big change in the jobs I get and the money I'm getting based on having a media kit and sending it out on these little pitches that I do.
Right. And what is, what is your opinion on, this is funny because this gets heavily debated in Clubhouse rooms. What's your opinion on product for photos? Curious.
Yeah.
As someone who does commercial work as well.
You know, I try to really stick with local brands. That's kind of where I've gotten the most of my work, is from local companies in Jackson. And I love working for them. I love promoting small businesses and helping them survive. You know, I work with a lot of outdoor apparel companies because that's kind of my brand. I'm the hiker. I'm the guy, you know, summiting mountains, climbing in the wilderness, you know, living out of my car. And, you know, if I can get these brands that I know and have a relationship with, and I can get their products in front of people that are looking for a warm pair of mittens or looking for that waterproof jacket, and I know, like, these are things that I use every day in all types of climates, and they help me. Like, I know that they're useful and effective, and that the people that I've talked to at these companies, I feel this almost like desire or ability to trust them and to believe in them. So in that sense, you know, I'm okay with it. I've had a lot of people reach out to me to shoot products that don't want to pay me money. They want me to post 5 times on my feed. You know, they want a lot of things without much in return. I don't work with those companies, and I don't agree that I should spend hours of my day creating content and almost saturating my audience with products if this company doesn't even believe or have this desire to respect me in the effort and work and time I put in. So I think it's a balance. You know, I think I've been blessed to be able to work with local companies that I know and trust. And, you know, I work with companies that I can literally walk to their brick and mortar store and talk to them, which has been easier for me. But I think every creator and every photographer kind of has a different opinion on it based on their experiences. So it's kind of like a trial and error for me.
You know what? So I wanted to hear your take on it first. And I totally agree with you. I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. I did when I started off, just because it's a good way to add to your portfolio, which you can also grow for free. I say this all the time on the show, that you can literally build a portfolio in a day just shooting stuff around your house. You know, nobody needs to know whether they paid you or not. If what better way to get into brand work than just shooting the things that you own and you use and you know inside and out. But the one thing that I would like to add to that and also advocate for is to not do product as payment. And I know maybe I sound a bit like a hypocrite because I did that in the start, but if I could go back, I wouldn't. And because what this does is it lowers the bar for everyone else in the industry, and it confirms to certain companies that offer you that stuff that is a valid form of payment. And then it hurts the rest of the community in the sense of it creates an expectation that that is the norm. You know what I mean?
Totally. You know, I think it's really difficult when you start out. You know, I found this in writing too. I would talk to a lot of freelance writers who would always say, never write an article for free. And I'd be like, well, how am I supposed to get exposure? How am I supposed to get jobs when I have nothing to show these companies? And it's just kind of that back and forth, because it does hurt the industry if you have a bunch of people that have talent that are willing to just give their work away for free. So starting out, you really just have to work extra hard to find the right companies to work with that are not only going to pay you, but are going to be mutually beneficial to work with and build a relationship with. And it is just a difficult and very overwhelming process in the beginning. But like anything, the more you do it, the more you get better at it, the better relationships you build with these brands, and the more money you're going to see out of it.
Right. And my hybrid idea, or my hybrid recommendation, would be to, if they're going to offer you product for payment, clarify that this is a demo, and when I do a good job, that, you know, I'm getting the next contract for this amount. And, you know, don't be so blunt about it. But that's pretty much the read between the lines, that this is our trial run. You know, especially if the product is worth a lot, then that could, you know, I could see that making sense. Like when I first started out doing commercial stuff, I did stuff for a company called Arctic Zone, and they gave me this really nice cooler in exchange for 12 shots. And the cooler retailed for like $300. I was like, and it's, you know, pretty much like a Yeti. It's not, but, and I was like, you know what? Sure. And then from there, it led to paid gigs. So that to me makes sense if you outline from the start that, you know, this isn't just a one-off. But yeah, there's a lot of good ideas and thoughts there. I want to move on to something we were talking about. And actually, I think we'll wrap up with this because this is a big topic, and I'm sure it'll fill up the rest of the episode. But in the very first episode ever of this podcast with Brett Blakely, I brought up the term imposter syndrome and how we deal with it as creators, especially when we're being paid to perform a service. And I haven't really dove back into it with anyone since. I've mentioned it in a few Clubhouse rooms, but never really defined it or how we deal with it as creators from time to time, and just, you know, simply what it is. And, you know, imposter syndrome is pretty much the experience of feeling like a phony. Is almost like if any moment you're going to be found out, or you can't believe people are paying you this amount to do what you're doing, or that you're not as competent as others perceive you to be. And it's really quite silly. And I think it has a direct links to perfectionism and overachieving and things like that. And especially has links to comparison on Instagram. I'm just curious if you've ever dealt with this concept, this imposter syndrome, and, you know, how you mitigated it.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting to talk about, because I found I dealt with it a lot early in my career, like, which is funny I say that, because earlier in my career was, you know, last summer.
Moving fast.
Yeah. But, you know, what I was doing to myself is I was looking at all these people that had been in photography or in content creation for 10 years. And I was comparing myself to them and being like, you know, my shots are out of focus. It's just not as good. You know, I'm not getting as many likes. You know, maybe I'm not meant for this business. And that was a horrible way to kind of view other people's work and kind of compare myself to them. And so one thing I started to do is, instead of, you know, first I kind of had this appreciation and like, and gave myself a break. It's like, look, you're just starting out, man. You're going to get better. You got to give yourself some time. You can't expect to be Chris Burkhardt in a week. You know, you need to take the time to get better and to learn how to, you know, compose shots and, you know, everything else within photography. So what I started to do is I started to follow people that actually inspired me. And instead of comparing myself
right
to them, I would look at them and say, oh, that is amazing. Like, what a cool way to take a shot of that product or take a shot of that landscape. Like, I'm going to go out and try to do the same thing. I'm going to try to imitate them. And then I would go back and be like, oh, like, you know, maybe I didn't capture it just as right. And I'm going to go back again and keep trying and keep trying. And then all of a sudden I realized, like, wow, like, here's that shot that they may have took, but it's kind of got my own little spin on it. And now it's mine. You know, and it's different, right. But it's not worse. It's not better. It's just, it's my unique perspective on what I was looking at. And it really came from focusing on being inspired and motivated by other people's work and not being demoralized or disheartened by the fact that they were better than me. And that definitely helped me a lot. And I think another thing that really helped was actually meeting up with other photographers and going out and shoot with them. You know, I thought there was always a secret formula to capturing the moment or capturing these really good shots. And I actually, as I progressed, I started to go out with, you know, better and better photographers, people that had been doing it for a while. And in doing so, I realized, you know, everyone's just kind of having fun and everyone's kind of just making it up as they go. And I don't mean that they don't have any experience in it.
Right.
What I mean is they see something that really, you know, makes their heart flutter a little bit, or, you know, that captures their eye, and they run off trying to take that moment and capture it. And that was really cool for me because that's what I do, you know, like I'm the same way. So, you know, that's definitely how I learned to not just compare myself to everyone else and instead just be inspired by everyone else.
Yeah, I love that, man. And this speaks to a previous episode where we talked a lot about digital minimalism, and I wanted to bring it up again. You know, I had a certain criteria for who I chose to follow online, and, you know, I won't go through them all, but one of them was, does this inspire me? You know, is this, when I look at this, how do I feel? Like really asking yourself questions of self-awareness and really flipping the mindset from, damn, I wish I could do that, to I can do that. And that's sick that that person did that. I want to go do that. And not only do I just want to go do it how they've done it, but I want to build on it. I want to innovate. You know, what can I add to what they've done that pushes it a little bit further, or that pushes it a little bit more in my creative style in that direction? Like, you know, what can I do to just make it more mine, like you've said? And I think innovation is the key word here, just really building off of an original idea. Because, and on a different episode too, with a guy named Ian Jones, we talked about how there's really not too many original ideas anymore. Like, you can't just come up with something totally, like everything has almost been done. And that really speaks to the idea of, like you said, just making it up as you go, noticing that really cool sunrise or that thing that happened, and then putting your own creative spin on it and just being outside, having field time, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think what's cool that I found myself is the better I've gotten and the more I've gone out to shoot, the more I've just worked on my photography, is now I'm thinking of a shot I'm going to take before I even get out into the field to take it. And I find that is really cool because now, you know, I'm just took a shot, I think maybe last week, and I've been thinking about it for about 3 months now in the Tetons. And I'm so excited to share it because I haven't seen many perspectives of the Tetons that are, you know, similar to what I shot. And I think in time, by realizing that, you know, I'm just a student here trying to learn, and everyone else can be my teacher by just looking at their work and trying to understand their perspective and why they're, you know, why they found it so, you know, that shot so kind of interesting for them to take. But yeah, you know, I think as you progress, you do start to move away from this comparison and this, you know, kind of self-afflicting pain of saying like, I'm just not good enough. And you got to give yourself time. You know, I was listening to a podcast with Chris Burkhard, and he was saying when he started out photography, he was going to dive in and give himself 5 years. When I heard him say 5 years, you know, that was astonishing to me because I always thought it was like 6 months. You know, after 6 months, you should kind of know if you made it or not, or you know if you're going to be passionate about it. You know, he said 5 years, and that kind of just opened this whole door up to me being like, 5 years, I feel like I can do a lot in 5 years. And, you know, that's just another form of inspiration that I found and that's helped me with my work.
Love that, man. And I think that's a perfect place to end in speaking to, you know, what you just said. I'm going to leave everyone with this. It's that people overestimate what they can do in a year and they underestimate what they can do in 10 years. But Hayden, man, this has been a lot of fun, and wanted to thank you again for joining me on the show. And I'll put a hyperlink to your Instagram in the description of the episode. And also, obviously, if people wanted to type it out on Instagram, your handle will be in the title. But thank you so much, man, for joining me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Seth. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks again, everyone, for listening to another episode of the Photographer Mindset Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're thinking about getting on Clubhouse, you probably heard from me and from other people that it's invite only. So if you're looking to get on, I have some invites. Just hit me up on the Instagram DM box and I'll be sure to send one your way. And we can connect on there in real time as well. We can talk about anything you want to, or any questions you may have. But until next time, everyone, go get shooting, go get editing, and stay focused. See you then.